Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there. Thanks for joining me.
On this show, we are aligning our passion with impact to create purposeful fusion. This idea may feel as impossible as seeing a unicorn or finding the fountain of youth. But remember, we're talking about your passion, not someone else's or some predetermined and assigned passion. But I get it. Finding your purpose can be a real challenge. Society often pushes us toward more traditional paths, making it tough to explore what really lights us up inside. With the hustle and bustle of everyday life, it's hard to find a moment to really dig deep and figure out what we're truly passionate about. And let's not forget about the fear factor. The worry of failing or being judged can stop us from taking leaps of faith into the unknown. Plus, our interests and who we are can change so much over time, adding to the complexity. Finally, not having clear role models or guidance in certain areas can leave us feeling a bit lost. The natural starting point here is to find out what you're passionate about, and for many of us, that could be the biggest challenge. If you've spent your life catering to others' wants, needs, and desires, then finding time to do your own deep dive may have felt impossible. So for any good journey, let's start at the beginning. What brings you joy? What lights your soul on fire? What gives you the feeling of fulfillment? What speaks to your heart? I'm not looking for an immediate answer here, but these are all important questions to ponder, sit with, and explore. Ikigai is a Japanese concept that unites the joy of life with a sense of purpose. The term is a combination of Japanese words, iki, to live, and gai, reason, which together signify a reason to live. To guide us on this journey, we're going to explore the intersection of the four essential elements: your passion, what you love; your vocation, what you're good at; your mission, what the world needs; and your profession, what you can be paid for. Ready to go? Let's start with your passion, what you love. Over at BetterUp.com, Maggie Wool says the secret to finding your passion isn't looking, it's doing. How many times have you been told to find your passion? How often have you been asked what you're passionate about? Unfortunately, a Deloitte study found that only 13% of the U.S. workforce is passionate about their jobs. We're often told to pursue our passions in our professional and personal lives. We've all heard the saying, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. But that's easier said than done. Passion doesn't really work that way. Before you can pursue your passions, you need to discover what your passions are. You'll likely have to work many days in many ways to discover the work that taps into your passion. Here is some guidance on how to discover and develop your passion so that you can live a more fulfilling life. According to Merriam-Webster, passion refers to a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement, either for something or about doing something. Passions are often something you would love to do constantly. Traveling is a good example of a passion. Sometimes our passion is something we would love to do for work. Sometimes we only think that's what we want. Having passion for our work is more specific than being excited or enthusiastic about something. The Deloitte research describes worker passion as something that motivates us to dig into the tough problems and sustains us through challenges and setbacks. This type of passion brings out our desire to figure something out, to learn faster, to make an impact. It's important to understand the distinction between passions and core values. Everyone has their own set of core values that guide them and shape how they feel about their work or work environment. Strong core values might include discipline, perseverance, playfulness, learning, excellence, and resilience. The degree to which your work and life align with these values will likely contribute in a big way to success in your career and personal life. But finding and following your passion will be the spark that ignites the flame. Researchers and occupational experts know now that there's a golden thread that runs through finding and living your passions and the measure of success you're likely to experience, both on a professional and a personal level. The interesting thing about pursuing your passions is that doing something you care about on an emotional and intellectual level will result in you wanting to do more of it. This means there's a direct link between discovering and developing your passions and achieving growth in your career and personal development. It isn't always as clear as finding a way to get paid for doing the thing that you love to do in your spare time, though. You often have to practice imagination to find the threads of passion that connect a hobby or interest to a career or profession. Finding your passion is often interlinked with happiness and fulfillment on a more personal level. For this reason, you must find your passion if you're eager to lead a fulfilling life. You might be asking yourself, well, how do I find my passion? Discovering and uncovering your passions requires engaging in different types of work and other pursuits. It's rare to have a passion for something we know nothing about. You have to develop some understanding, get to know the problems and challenges of a pursuit to fall in love with it, or to want to work on it every day. Keep in mind that finding your passions isn't a one-time process that happens in a single day. Your passions may change throughout your whole life. That's okay. Here are 10 steps you can follow to get started. Number one, create a personal vision statement. A personal vision statement includes what you want to accomplish in your life, both personally and professionally. In many ways, it's like a compass that indicates direction. It guides you whenever important decisions have to be made. Once written, your personal vision statement can guide you on how to find your true passions. Number two, uncover your values. Your personal values are the things you regard as important for underlining the way that you work and live. Your values determine your personal goals and priorities, and they often act as an indicator of whether or not your life and career path are turning out the way you want them to. Number three, find your true north. Closely connected to getting more clear on your core values, the concept of finding your true north is about discovering what motivates you. What type of impact or goals compel you? What makes you feel complete and present as if you're doing what you were made to do? Finding your true north is what some people might describe as discovering who you really are, your authentic or whole self. Your true north is where your values, beliefs, and sense of purpose meet. Once you become aware of your true north, you'll be that much closer to living a fulfilled life driven by your passions. Number four, make a list of things you love to do. As Socrates said, man, know thyself. He's referring to the importance of people knowing themselves before claiming or attempting to know anything else. Make a list of things you love to do to achieve this self-knowledge. Self-awareness is an important step on your journey to discovering your passions. Number five, assess the things you don't love. It's important to realize the things you love and love to do, but it's just as important to assess the things you don't love. Realizing what you don't love will give you a better understanding of the things that make you who you are. Number six, acknowledge your strengths and achievements. To discover your authentic self, it's important to acknowledge your strengths and achievements. Often, people find that their biggest personal strengths are the things that come naturally for them. Once you realize this, you'll find even more reasons to achieve and accomplish bigger things. Number 7, practice journaling. To the untrained ear, the ritual of journaling may sound like a topic far removed from finding and living our passions. But the truth is, journaling helps us track our progress and personal growth. Writing in a journal gives us a platform to uncover what we really love. We can pinpoint what we're passionate about without any judgment or limiting beliefs from others. Number 8, embrace a mindfulness practice. Mindfulness means embracing life in the moment, but it also means embracing wellness and being aware of everything you feel and experience, all without judgment, overthinking, or interpretation. Mindfulness teaches us that we all already know our passions. It's only that we need a vehicle to make conscious contact with that knowledge. Embracing a mindfulness practice helps us tune in more closely to our inner guide. This is often the best way to allow our true feelings and desires to rise into our conscious minds. Number 9, seek guidance from a coach. When looking to find your passion, a coach can be a valuable aid. For example, a career coach has been trained in helping people find their passions in life and work. Career coaches can help us shed the burden of external pressure working from the outside in. Number 10. Surround yourself with people with similar passions. There's just one secret to successfully surrounding yourself with people with similar passions. Know what makes you feel inspired, confident, and secure. Finding those qualities in another person will mean you've discovered someone with similar passions to your own. If you've hit a snag of confusion, let's define passions versus hobbies. A hobby is something you enjoy doing for fun and in your free time. A passion is something that's inside of you and with you all the time. Something you feel compelled to keep engaging with, even without external rewards like compensation or recognition. For some people, their passion is a profession, like medicine. For some, it's an academic area, like political history. For others, it's a certain type of activity or process, like sculpting or coding. However, it's important to keep in mind that a new hobby or skill set can become a passion. Let's look at some examples of passions versus hobbies. Volunteering to save sea turtles as opposed to keeping a marine tank for beautifying your home. Exercising to get and keep your body in tip-top shape as opposed to joining a gym buddy in your free time. Living your creativity by perfecting the craft of jewelry making as opposed to collecting rare pieces of jewelry for a hobby. None of this means you shouldn't have and enjoy hobbies. Hobbies provide a valuable outlet for creativity and a place where our minds can play while our emotional and physical well-being is refreshed. But what about when you've learned how to find your passion? Now what? What happens next? Finding your passion should always be followed by some form of action. This will allow you to remain aware of what your passions are and to apply this knowledge so that you can lead a happy and fulfilling life. From a professional point of view, consider this. Look at the opportunities available. Now that you've found your passion, it's time to make the most of the career opportunities around you. Armed with your newfound knowledge, you'll be better equipped to spot opportunities and turn them into real value. Assessing the viability of following your passions, it's a reality that not every passion will lead to financial or even personal satisfaction within the workplace. For this reason, it's important to do a viability check before jumping right in and trying to make a living from the things that you love and enjoy most. Find the core aspects of your passion, like problem solving or unraveling mysteries, that can carry into a work opportunity. Or look for new passions within the work that you already do. The bottom line is that knowing how to find your passion and living a fulfilling life comes down to knowing and doing what you really love. There's much to be said for putting in the time and effort to discover what your passions are, and then stepping out of your comfort zone to put your newfound knowledge into action. Be careful of your entrepreneurial spirit here and the drive to monetize everything. I found that early on about myself. Every idea I came up with, I tried to figure out how I could make money off of it. I tried this and I tried that. And finally, it dawned on me, not everything has to have a financial payoff to be rewarding. So re-engineer your thinking when it comes to compensation. If you pour your passion into something, someone, other opportunities might develop to help you fund your project, but not necessarily create an additional income stream. And that's great. I mean, yes, we have all heard if you can find your passion and turn it into a job, or through a job find your passion, if they can somehow intersect, shazam. Ideal situation, but don't force it. Tap into joy. Now, if you don't know what that means, if you haven't felt it, find that experience first. True joy, something that just you can't put down. You're so into it. And I'm not talking video games here necessarily, even though I'm sure there's plenty of things you can do with a video game passion. I'm thinking something that really nurtures your soul. What can you not put down? What do you put things on hold in order to put this in front of it as a priority? What could you spend hours doing without feeling bored or drained? Let's talk about your vocation, what you're good at. Maggie Wool to the rescue again with wondering what you're good at. Here are 10 ways to figure it out, found at betterup.com. We all like to feel like we know what we're doing and what we're good at. Even if we really like to learn and be challenged, we're more comfortable when we feel competent. Many people prefer to spending their time doing what they're good at, whether completing certain tasks at work, taking classes, or engaging in a hobby. But just how do you find what your strengths are? And is that always the same as what you're good at? In fact, they're not. Using your strengths energizes you, while you might be very good at tasks that bring you down. It can be difficult to see past our doubts and truly realize where we excel. And whether you believe so or not, everyone is good at something. You just need to find it. Knowing what you're good at makes any related tasks more enjoyable. Finding your natural talents can help you stay motivated and make it easier for you to see continuous improvement. You'll feel more confident when you have a good sense of what you're good at. Well-being and mental fitness begin with understanding and accepting yourself and building on your strengths. Start by carving out time for self-reflection. You can also get loved ones, friends, and families involved and ask their feedback. Here are 5 questions to ask yourself. Think about your responses to these questions. You can also use these questions as conversation starters with loved ones. What empowers you? What comes to you naturally? What were you good at as a child? What compliments do you tend to ignore? What skills have helped you thrive or overcome hurdles? Everyone wants to be good at what they're passionate about, but these two things don't always align. Differentiating between the two concepts is important to understand yourself better. What you're good at can be broken down into 3 aspects. Innate talent. This refers to abilities you naturally have or skills that you pick up faster than others. For instance, painting may come naturally, or you may easily learn new sports or mathematical concepts. Your knowledge base. With some subjects, you may find it easier to retain information than others do. You'll be able to engage with simple or complex concepts alike with less conscious effort. Recognition. It's hard to hide natural talent, and people will undoubtedly notice. Remember, it's okay to accept compliments and praise. Human beings are social creatures, and we rely on positivity to remain healthy mentally. Your passions have several different elements too. Skill level is unimportant. Unlike talent, you don't need to be good at something to be passionate about it. Your passions may not serve as the best career path, but it's perfectly fine to do things because it puts a smile on your face. For instance, you may enjoy singing, even if you're not pitch perfect. Interest-based. Passions typically go hand in hand with interests. It may be harder to indulge in your passions, but if you're having fun, it's worth the effort. An interest can also develop into a passion with practice and immersion. Intrinsically motivated. The most noteworthy aspects of individual passions is that we do them for fulfillment, not recognition. Our passions can teach us to be thankful for this life and our freedom to choose to spend every day differently. We can classify skills as one of two types, hard skills or soft skills. Hard skills can be measured or assessed. They refer to specific talents, like computer programming or speaking a particular language. You'll see these qualifications listed on job resumes or job postings. These skills are learned through schooling, field training, or work experience. Soft skills usually apply to social relationships and help individuals get along. Creativity, organization, and adaptability are just a few notable examples of soft skills. You could be the best teacher at your school, but if you can't treat people well, it won't matter. Internalizing these skills is just as crucial for navigating personal and professional settings. The best employees integrate both types of skill. Keep in mind that well-rounded workers make for more well-rounded businesses. Here are 10 things to consider when you're looking to learn more about yourself and your positive attributes. Number 1, think about what skills have helped you succeed. Reflect on your education and work history, including volunteer roles and internships. What did you enjoy the most? What didn't you enjoy? What made you feel the most accomplished? Did you get any feedback on your performance? Finding the common thread will show you what path you should be on. Number 2, take notes about how you spend your free time. Your hobbies can tell you a lot about what interests you both professionally and privately. Keep a record of what you do during your downtime and why it fulfills you. Journaling can be a helpful way to have a sense of how you fill your days. Number 3, ask others for their opinions. Those who know and respect you give you honest answers about what you're good at. It can be hard to objectively analyze ourselves, so an outside opinion can be just what you need to view yourself differently and more fairly. Number 4, look for patterns. What you do repetitively is an excellent indicator of your strengths. Number 5, keep an open mind. Be curious and open to feedback or suggestions that don't necessarily align with how you see yourself can be beneficial. Sometimes our skills aren't on our radar until we stumble across a book or a place or meet someone that enlightens us. You can't know if you're bad at something until you try it, and the unexpected is full of surprises. Number 6, take an assessment. Aptitude and personality tests are designed to help you narrow down the list of skills and discover your strengths. These quizzes can introduce you to new skills you want to develop or confirm what you already know. Number 7, go explore. It's a big, big world out there, full of opportunities waiting for us to find them. Sometimes we can only find ourselves if we get lost first. Try traveling, taking new classes, and meeting new people to expand your horizons. Number 8, hire a career coach. Counseling services or life coaches can be a good option. Talking about yourself or brainstorming out loud are great ways to see things clearly than inside our busy brains. Number 9, try lots of things. At the end of the day, if you don't go outside your comfort zone and take chances and risks and fail, you'll have no place to start learning, growing, and excelling. Number 10, stop overthinking it. We can get caught up in ourselves far too easily. When we're desperate and force ourselves to concentrate or strive for perfection, we tend to make mistakes and come up short. Allow yourself to enjoy the process and be patient. Lots of people believe you can excel at one thing only, but in reality, everyone has multiple skill sets, and it's important to take advantage of that. It is so hard to give ourselves praise, isn't it? When is the last time you made the statement, "I'm really good at this or that"? Most of the time, we're making excuses for our shortcomings. We're putting ourselves down. "I'm no good at that. I can't do that." Someone gives us a compliment and we're quick to highlight our weaknesses and insecurities. That's why the hardest part of an interview is, "Tell me about yourself." You know, here they're not looking for what you've done. That's sitting right in front of them with a resume. Tell us about you. What's important to you? What do you care about? The second hardest question is, tell us about your strengths. Because we have plenty of weaknesses, but strengths are hard. No need to brag here if that's what you're worried about, but you need to know what you're good at. What about your mission? What does the world need? Dr. Alex Lickerman leads us with How to Find Your Mission, found at psychologytoday.com. In his book, The Undefeated Mind, he makes the argument that articulating ourselves and living by a personal mission statement, describing the broadest type of value or contribution we want to make to the world, will increase not only our happiness, but our resilience. A mission isn't something an outside force assigns to us, but rather something we assign ourselves. As such, it serves as the reason we engage in various meaning-making strategies we employ throughout our lives, like practicing medicine, writing books, driving taxis, teaching, and so on. Of course, we don't have to define a mission for ourselves. The pleasures life brings us will remain pleasurable even if we don't. We can choose to view our job or hobbies or whatever we spend most of our time doing as just that, what we spend our time doing, or as something we enjoy, or as a necessary evil, a means to the end, like making money. But if we embrace a mission, our mission, as a provisional bodhisattva, a bodhisattva is defined in Buddhism as a person who dedicates himself to the happiness of others, will not only enjoy greater life satisfaction, but also gain something that the joy we feel from fleeting pleasures can't provide. Something that most people fail to associate with a strong sense of purpose, but that's nevertheless one of its principal benefits, increased strength. Be aware of approaching the task by first deciding what you think it should be. A choice often influenced by parental expectations or a need to project a certain image to others, and then by attempting to stir up a requisite amount of passion for it. In simpler words, don't go after something just because you think others will think it's cool. That's my version. Though by no means easy, this part is at least relatively straightforward. All we need to do is trace our way back through the strategy to which we were already the most attached. Whether a hobby we like, the job we have, or the job we want, to identify or reverse engineer the mission that lies underneath it. We shouldn't try to imagine things we think would excite us. We should examine our experience to find what has actually excited us. Or go out and try new experiences to see if they do. Begin with the right question. Don't ask yourself, what do I want to do with my life? That is, don't focus on career. That would be strategy, not a mission. Instead, ask yourself, what kind of value feels like the most important value I could create? You're after meaningfulness, not passion. Though the two are by no means mutually exclusive, they are distinct. Passion is usually more associated with the strategies you use to fulfill your mission. Create a list of 50 things that have brought you great joy in the past and 50 ongoing activities that continue to bring you great joy in the present. The point in aiming for 100 items isn't to reach 100 per se, but to create an exhaustive list. Including your current job is a good idea. Including the aspects of your current job that you enjoy the most is even better. From this list, identify the items that felt the most meaningful to you. This is best done by gut feeling. Each item you select should, by definition, be something that in some broad way contributes to the well-being of others. Group these items into related categories. Maybe a number of items relate to helping others in a particular way, like with their health or their talents or their relationships. Or maybe helping people in certain situations, like people living in poverty, victims of abuse, mental illness. From these categories, cull out a first draft of a mission statement. Two things to keep in mind. This must be a statement derived from experiences you've already had, not ones you'd like to have. You're looking to discover your mission, not invent it. This is to find what's already there, what already feels like the most important thing you could do with your life, not what you think it is or want it to be. Imagine getting a Lifetime Achievement Award in your 80s or 90s for having spent an entire lifetime accomplishing this. Does the statement you've come up with hit the sweet spot? That is, when you gut check it, does it feel like the most meaningful thing you could have done? You may not be able to find your mission through your current job. You may hate your current job. But once you find your mission, turning that job into a strategy with which to fulfill it is still often possible, and maybe even transform the way you feel about your job. But don't let a fear of discovering that your mission can't be fulfilled by your current job deter you from discovering and articulating your mission. Just take it one step at a time. After all, when it comes to what you think you should be doing, isn't it better to know? I remember a former employer telling me, you need to be solving problems. Now, he was referring to business and scalability and why some companies hit it big and others fade away. Even though this was a business concept, I think it translates to every day. What is a problem that you can solve? Who needs help and with what? That's what community is, being there for one another. When I got started on my mission, it was helping women get back to work. The first problem I identified? They didn't have a job, but needed to support their family. Solution? Identify job skills, write resumes, provide suitable work clothes. But what I learned through that process? The problem was they lacked confidence in themselves and their abilities. The solution? Encouragement. Now let's talk about your profession. What can you be paid for? Well, Margie Worrell shines a light with Your Purpose Lies at the Intersection of Three Things found at success.com. Albert Einstein said, evermore, today, people have the means to live, but not the meaning to live for. That's only become truer in the recent decades. Research now confirms what many have long known, that only when our purpose for going to work transcends what we get from it to what we give through it, can we ever enjoy a deep sense of personal or professional fulfillment. Having a sense of purpose in your work acts a little like the energy of light. Diffused, it has minimal strength. Concentrated as through a laser beam, it can slice through steel. The clearer you are about your highest purpose in your life, your big why, the better you can channel your talents and time to make a meaningful mark on the world that leaves everyone, not just yourself, better off. Recent studies have found that in our superficial, self-obsessed world, having a sense of purpose is an increasingly strong predictor of happiness and a powerful antidote to depression. Research has found that purpose-driven people are 1.4 times more likely to be engaged at work and have nearly 2 times the level of career satisfaction. They earn a higher income and have a higher net worth, and they experience a decreased mortality rate. Unlike animals who are wired only for survival, we humans crave more from life than mere existence. Without a compelling answer to the question, survival for the sake of what, we struggle to stay motivated and are much less willing to step through our fear of failure toward whatever possibilities tug most at our hearts. When our highest purpose is the elevation of our comfort, status, and security, it keeps us living in the shallows, unwilling to take the risks needed to discover, to disrupt, to create, or to experience soul-level success. If you sometimes struggle with a lack of meaning in your work, or if what once gave you purpose no longer does, you're in the company of millions. Despair not, though. Our purpose tends to unfold and evolve as we do. Sometimes we have to sit in the wondering, open to discovering what lies beyond the obvious or what's been staring at us in the face the whole time. If you haven't already, get out a pen and a blank sheet of paper. Draw a simple 3-circle diagram, and in each circle, write down whatever comes to your mind as we follow the next 3 steps. Identify your strengths. No need to be humble here. You're good at many things, but there are some things that you're particularly good at. So much so that sometimes you wonder why on earth others find it so hard. Our greatest strengths often flow from our toughest times. So include here the hard-won wisdom, insights, and skills you've learned from the school of hard knocks that no classroom could ever teach. Clarify what you care about deeply. Live your passion, says Tony Robbins. All well and good if you know what that is. But what if you don't? Despair not. You don't have to be on fire about helping an at-risk child designing a Tesla, solving the world's energy problems, or meditating peace in the Middle East to live a deeply meaningful life. Since our emotions, not our knowledge, are the primary driver of action, you simply have to care enough about something that it triggers an emotional response in you. From what lights you up and puts you in flow to what makes you so barking mad, you could be unstoppable in making things right. Begin with the people and causes closest to your heart. From there, move to whatever ignites a spark in you. Creative expression, sadness, anger, compassion, curiosity, or an exciting sense of wild possibility. Every great feat of human accomplishment can be traced back to someone who cared deeply. Discern where you contribute the greatest value. Physician Albert Schweitzer once said, "One thing I know, the only ones among you who will be happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve." Write down your answers to these questions. What problems are you great at solving? What wants and needs do people have that you're able to meet? Which people are you best positioned to help? What stress, struggle, or suffering are you able to ease for others? Where do you continually find yourself adding the most value? Sure, it's gratifying to gain status, win applause, and make a name for yourself. But committing to a purpose more important than stroking your ego or avoiding it being bruised enables you to dig deep, find your courage, and forge a truly good life. Give yourself permission to live in the questions. Where is pride holding me back? What is the mark I most want to make? Where is my life calling me to be braver? You will eventually live into the answers. Regardless of how uncertain your path ahead, trust that you are here to make a mark that no one else can, and that fulfilling your purpose begins simply by asking yourself this question: how may I serve? Then take a brave step in whatever direction your answer beckons. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, start taking steps to turn your passion into meaningful action. Align your passion with impact to create a purposeful fusion that not only brings fulfillment to your life, but also contributes positively to the world around you. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you.